We were having a conversation the other night about just how close that we are in the end days and how dark things are. And, you know, I know a lot of times that when you hear preachers or evangelists, typically when a church isn't active like they should be, then they'll bring in an evangelist and he'll get on fire and he'll just get the spark back. And then they'll go home and we'll maintain for a little while and we'll go back down into a low estate. But I'm here to tell you that the fire that God is putting in his ministers today is a different fire than what was being sent just to keep the church alive. You see, my friends, there's a sense of urgency we need to begin to have about our surroundings. Because you might think that we are the United States and that nothing could get on our soil. But I'm here to tell you that things happen all over this nation. And just because the news doesn't cover it doesn't mean that it's not painful to somebody. I'm here to tell you right now that we should be very fortunate to take into account just how blessed that we really are. How many days and years that we have been safe without incident? How many times that evil has tried to thwart us, yet God has spared us? There is a great reason to be thankful for what he is doing. Now, you might wonder if I come here to prove some kind of agenda, to get some kind of name or some kind of title. I'm here to tell you that if it was about any of that, there had been plenty of reasons to sit down and give up. But what God has put in my spirit the past 4 or 5 months is a sense of urgency for us to have our eyes opened for the things that are going on around us. Because just when you think that you're safe is when the devil will begin to try and work against you. Now, I'm not talking about this stuff where somebody just says a little off word against you and makes you mad and you be a baby about it for a week or two. That's not the kind of attack I'm talking about. I'm talking about the things that take life from people. I'm talking about the things that destroy property. I'm talking about the things that once it's done, there's no going back. That's the kind of evil that I want you to be aware of, because you might think, I remember a long time ago, everybody said, oh, our kids are safe. We've got a good school system. We're in the Bible Belt. We've got a good superintendent, and then we became a county on the map for having a school shooting. How many of you remember that? Nobody in the world would have ever said that something like that could have happened to Kimball County. And we would have been known for having hundreds of churches all around town, but that's not what we're known for today, is it? We're known for being one of the number one counties in the manufacturing of methamphetamine. We're one of the number one counties that brings back pills from other states all around this nation. So I'm here to tell you that just because somebody isn't wielding a machete at you and opening fire at you does not mean that there are things going on around us that we shouldn't be looking for, because it's just as evil as the evil that is in this world around us. So why do we move with a sense of urgency? Because if we don't, we're going to perish in it. And if it's your purpose to endure such a suffering, the Bible says that there will be some that must endure it the same way that those that were before them did. You see, if we go through the motions and continually just come in and do a little bit, then the power of discernment is not unlocked. You see, you can't begin to discern something until you're fully yielding yourself to the Spirit of God. So when you come in and just serve it for the feelings, you're not discerning anything. You're just feeling good. And how many of you know you can be feeling good and bad things happen to you? Why are we pushing so hard? Why are we not giving up? Why are we going in the power of boldness? Because the Spirit of God won't turn loose of me. Every single time that I want to back up and be like, well, why don't we just take a break? Why don't we just hold for a little while and get into some scripture where we can feel loved and wholesome and wonderful? Because I'm here to tell you, if I did that to you, I would be deceiving you of the evil that is all around us. I'm here to talk about the kind of spirits that will bring out lust in people. I'm here to talk about the kind of spirits that will make people spend their money on stuff that they don't tell anybody else about how they're spending their money. I'm here to talk about the kind of spirit that'll make you hide something that you're doing, that if everybody knew about it, they wouldn't be happy with you. I'm talking about the kind of spirit that is provoking the kind of evil we're hearing about to do terrible things. The person that took the plane down in France that was on the German airline, there was a doctor that deemed him unfit to even be able to fly a plane. He was declared mentally unstable. And some of you think, well, how can somebody that just has a few problems do something like that? Listen, listen, the kind of evil we're talking about is different than the kind of bad day that you have. It is a spirit that gets on people, and we have got to learn to take spiritual authority over these things. You might feel like preaching for a minute, if that's all right with you. If you're not going to take authority over your house, then I can't promise you that everything every day is going to be wonderful. But I can guarantee you, if you're trying all that you can to claim your domain, then the devil's going to have a hard time slipping something on you that you won't already be aware that's coming your way. I fear for people that serve God that long for perfect days. They're being deceived. They bring in through programs, and brother, if you'll come attend my conference and pay $250 to come to this conference, we're going to get you in such a place the devil could never hurt you. But that's not the world I live in. I don't think anybody would come to my conferences, because you know what I would probably open up and say? You're going to go through stuff. People are going to get on your nerves. Christians are going to come against you. People's opinions are going to try to shoot you down. Evil is amongst you. And I wanted to go there. I wanted to talk about it. Because I don't want you to think that it's not an item of concern for me. I want people to be saved. I want them to be filled with the Spirit. I want the church to be having a good time. I want to build and finish the building and get there and accomplish the agenda, the desire of our heart. But if we're not being aware of what's around us and already taking authority over these things, my Lord, just because we just want to say, well, God's got it, I don't have to do anything else. But it sure moves mountains when you begin to claim your domain. There's been some things that I used to take for granted, Brother Matt, but every day I thank Him and put it back in my humble spirit to say, God, I thank You that I'm employed. Oh, my Lord and my God, who am I talking to? I'm glad, God, that I'm employed. God, I'm glad that I'm happily married. God, I'm glad that You have given me a good church. I thank You, God, for a wonderful family. God, I praise You for a home that You blessed me with. God, I thank You for sound mind. I'm talking to somebody right now. You might not think you've got anything to pray about or thank God for or claim, but I'm here to tell you, if you just begin to call out the things by name that God is doing, then you'll begin to see that there is more to fight for than you're even letting on to believe. I can't say this one. Some of you can. Lord, I thank You for my children. I thank You for their safety. I thank You for protecting them. It's not by coincidence every day that they survive. If you're a child of God and they are yours, He said you'd have your house. But I know that I wouldn't put them in a house and not live with them and protect them. He should train them up in the way that You would have them to go. And when they would get old, they would not depart from it. They might reject it, but it's not going to leave their heart. Because there's something about what you begin to do to somebody over time. It begins to store in what they call long-term memory. It's harder to forget somebody that loves you for 20 years than it is for somebody that loves you for 5 minutes. Bless God, you're my favorite preacher, buddy. Get out the door. God, if he preached another 10 minutes, I was going to quit church. Here's the deal. There is so much that we have been, I'm going to call it just like it is. There are so many things that we have been fools about. Me first. Who's going to admit it? Me first. There's been things that we should be doing that we simply do not. And the Bible says, hear this. To them that know to do good and do it not, it's a sin, because when you do not do the will of the Father and do not represent the Father, you are denying the Father. And the Bible says if you will deny Him, that He will deny you. That if you would be ashamed of Him, He'd be ashamed of you. So we take it so little and so lightly that it's just that we just had another good week. I'm here to try to get us to dial down our thinking down to just an easy level to comprehend. If you made it another week, you know what? You're not in a hospital today. You're not in the nursing home clinging for life. And I'm going to brag on the church a little bit. You're not going to a church that's dead. You're not living in a land that is ravaged by gunfire. You're not living every day in fear for your life. When you hear a loud noise, you're not taking cover and ducking. You would account it to a backfire in a truck. But friends, we've got to be prepared. We have to know and understand the presence of evil. But evil is a supernatural thing. You don't come right out and see evil in its fullness with your eyes. It is discerned by your spirit. And here's another nugget for you tonight. Unless we're in overflow of the anointing in our life. I'm talking about freedom of the gifts in your life. If you can't celebrate in the gifts of God, if those are choked up in you, then you're not able to see trouble afar off. And it literally will be so close to you that you become reactionary, where you will move when it moves on you to attack you. But overflow anointing begins to cause you to not worry about all these cares of life and helps you to begin to perceive the evil that would be out there against you. I'm talking about having the kind of discernment that would keep you from saying something in the moment. I'm not talking about thinking about it and going back and apologizing and changing your opinion. I'm talking about being instantly quickened in the moment. That's one example. Are you ready for where I really want to get to? He would have us, when we come into his house, to be able to move in the moment, to react with discernment, and not wait until we get in trouble to react. As we live right, as we strive to do what's right, then that is giving you the right with your advocate to claim by faith that which you desire. But just to have faith and never mix anything with it is unprofitable. It's dead. What good would it do you to have all the potential to do a good thing, but to never do it? When evil is rising in someone, it does not hesitate to act. That's why anger is so easily provoked, because evil's not going to sit around and think about it. Evil is going to react and attack. The Bible even warns us that the devil goes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Doesn't choose by category. Doesn't go after what tastes the best, whatever he can get. We live by preference. We only want to eat what we like. But the devil don't care. He will provoke you supernaturally. And if you're not praying and seeking in the will of the Father, it'll hit you so hard you won't even know which way it come from. You won't even know who did it. You won't even know what somebody said that even bothered you. But all of a sudden, you're sitting there and you're so aggravated with life, you can't even do anything. And as people are vexed with this over and over again, let me tell you what happens. It begins to take action. And then you go from being somebody that's just had a bad few days to being the kind of person that would take down a plane. You go from being the kind of person that would just be aggravated at somebody to going and committing an act of violence against them. There's a very fine line between what is natural and what is supernatural. And I'm here to tell you that that which is supernatural will cause a greater destruction than any kind of thing that a person would do on their own. Because supernatural things come against Christians. I went to church 20 years of my life. And no offense to anyone that went there. But as I grew up, I had a false sense of security. I knew God, and I knew he loved me, but I was not aware of just how powerful evil could be. And when I was a 15-year-old man, drugs came to my life before I even knew it. And I went from being a guy that just had a depression problem to being just filled up with bondage and had no control over it. No control. How long do we have to wait before we'll begin to help people, before they get to the place where it's too late? How long will we sit and wait to feel good before we realize that it's so much more than just coming in and feeling good and dancing around and having a good time? Because I'm here to tell you, it feels good to dance, but it feels far more better to make a difference. Oh, I feel the power of God right now. There are children out there that simply need to know that they're loved. And the difference between when you don't do it and when you will is the power of God in you that'll cause you to get past what makes you to be afraid. And it'll cause you to put your arms around them and tell them, I know you might think I'm crazy, but I'm going to pray for you anyway. And if they push you out of the the room, then you get down on your knees and you claim what is yours. Because I'm here to tell you, there is an evil out there that is out of some people's control. And unless we're claiming by authority, their lives will lose them to the power of evil. I know some people don't want to talk about this. They don't want to get into this realm of the word, but there are battles going on right now. Look over somebody and say, we're in spiritual warfare. Jesus had the power to cast out thousands of demons and even spoke the word in the Bible to us that where one could put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000. But I'm here to tell you that he didn't leave it without a substance to make it powerful. He said, though I go away, oh, I'm going to send you a comforter. My Lord. When he died on the cross, he removed the blots that would have made you unworthy to speak to your advocate. When he went away, he made a way. When he went away, he made a way. Oh, when they opened the tomb, there was nothing there. And I'm here to tell you that sometimes I wish that I could see Jesus walking around me. But Gary, there's something deep down inside of me that reminds me that he is with me. He said, though I go away, I will send you another comforter. When they received that comforter on the day of Pentecost, it brought out cloven tongues of fire. I don't think that they planned on getting cloven tongues of fire. I think that it just happened on them. And I'm glad that when God blessed me with his spirit, I didn't have time to think about it. As soon as I felt his power, the first thing I knew was that I was free. Then the second thing I knew was that I was speaking out in a heavenly language. And I went to places where people would have condemned me for what I had done, but they're not going to take away the one thing inside of me that causes me to provoke that which would bring me life. The gifts and callings of God are to provoke your spirit. And as your spirit is provoked, you become spiritually aware. We preached on that. And as you become spiritually aware, then you're not seeing with your eyes anymore. And in fact, I found that I don't even worry with my eyes anymore. There used to be people that would bother me, bug me at my jobs in the past. But as I grew stronger as anointing, when they'd try to walk by and give me a snooty look, I'd just smile and go on. Because it's like, you know what? I see right through that. Because when it's natural and you're in his anointing, you're going to see right through the flesh. You won't even worry about what people say about you, how they bother you, what they do to come against you. And then you'll get concerned for what really matters out there. We're not saying this enough. And I had something totally prepared. But this isn't what's in my spirit right now. There are people right now that are in such bondage, that are so depressed that they literally cannot eat, they cannot sleep, they do not feel loved, they are provoked unto substance abuse, and they're hiding all of it trying to pretend that everything's all right. And every day that we come in here and do not engage the spirit, look over at somebody and say, the spirit, or we can go southern on it and say the spurt. When we do not engage the spiritual self, then we are not looking for their need in the spiritual realm. Because you better be careful to try to discern something on your flesh. Because you'll get up and try to say something to somebody that won't connect with them. Like trying to put a circle through a square. It doesn't connect. It doesn't make sense. And there's a lot of ministers out there today that are not engaging the anointing, and they're trying to put circles through squares. And every time something happens in their churches, they're thinking, well, Lord, what am I doing wrong? What am I missing? What am I missing? But you've got to have some moments where your spirit is greater than your flesh. I'm here to tell you, I'm not trying to coach you to praise God. I'm simply trying to encourage you to let your spiritual self have dominion for a little while. Because what did it say? Greater is he that is... What is that talking about? The spirit that's in you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is... A lot of people want to point the finger right there, but this greater is the spirit that's in me than the me that's out here on earth. Greater is the spirit that means you have dominion over your flesh. My perspective has changed over the last 7 years. And here's the reality. I have found that the things that I desire when I pray, as I begin to pray, I literally feel in my heart what should be important. And then you'll go from asking for a 2015 red four-door sports car to just getting where it matters. Lord, just give me something to drive. Because let me tell you, as you put your flesh to death, it's going to want less. You kill that flesh, it's going to want less. Then you won't be so worried about how much money you got. You won't be so worried about how much food you're going to eat. I know you might be thinking, but brother, it looks like you worry about it a whole lot. But I'm here to tell you right now that it is not of my concern. And if I only had a cookie tomorrow, I'd be just as content as I am today. When we put the death to our flesh, you begin to see what's really important. And here is where it is. The devil just tries to poke at you and keep you distracted, because the more that you live in your flesh, the less that you can perceive of what's going on in the supernatural. You didn't stand up right here, brother. I'm going to be way over here. I feel this. I'm going to be way over here. And I'm going to be, now I want you to wave at Brother Jack back here in the back, but I'm going to try to get in your way. And I'm going to poke at you, mess with you, and say, I'm not touching you. And I'm going to try to provoke you to keep you from seeing that God is with you. Because if I can poke at you enough, your eyes will turn away from the thing that God is trying to get you to see by faith and not by your eyes. You might not think I have a list of things that bother me. But, oh, friend, just because I don't write it down doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But every single day that I want to live and prosper, I have to take that thing that I wrote over the course of the day and throw it out in the fire. How many of you know you're tried by fire? You've got to let the things that do not need to be in you, let them go. And the lighter that you live, the easier it is to what? Provoke your spirit. I feel like God's doing something right now. He is trying to teach you something right now in this moment. If I came for nothing else, I came for this moment right now. You've got to understand, greater is He that's in me. To not just be something you know by the words of it, but that which you bear witness to. Because unless you have those moments where you're willing to shake yourself and shout and clap your hands and take a risk and testify or do something that you never thought you'd do before, if you're just going to sit back and wait for the perfect moment to come, I'm here to tell you the devil is blocking your view from what God wants you to do.